You are listening to The Other Marketing Guys. My name is Simon Elkjær and I'm your host. And with me in your studio, I have my co-host, the Bulgarian marketing messiah, the guy who likes to score in the morning, Martin Kahn. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm great. It's great to be back here in Esbjerg. I'm actually really excited for this. You, Simon, have already some experience with podcasting, but I'm brand new to this.
Yeah.
So it's quite a journey to be here and see what's going to happen from now on.
First step of hopefully a long journey.
Yeah, I really hope so as well.
You have to actually speak up. You have to use your chest to speak up a little bit.
All right. So, yeah. Like this.
That's why sitting so far from each other is actually a hack in podcasting, because you have to speak to me so I can hear you.
Oh yeah, I see.
But to welcome to this podcast, it's the first episode of hopefully many podcast episodes. We are going to talk about in this podcast episode. We're going to talk about this podcast and what we're going to do. Yeah. So it's kind of a meta episode. And we are going forward, talk about SEO, content marketing, social media, and content creation, blogging, and so on. We're going to talk about not paid advertising. So it's like organic marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
The format is going to be quite the same in all episodes. I'm going to introduce it here. So it's like an intro, it's announcements, and then it's sponsors if we have any. It's news, questions from our community, and it's final words. So, like now, we just intro. I can skip forward to announcements. We have no announcements, so it's like like a small talk avenue, because the announcement is okay. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
So, I like to hear one thing, Martin.
Please go ahead.
You are you're not from. It's from. All who listen, so you can hear that we are not native English speakers.
Yes,
so we have
indeed.
To address this, because our like main competitors are like American speakers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm from Denmark. Yes. I have done podcasting for 220 episodes today, actually, in Danish.
Well,
and
congrats.
You're from Bulgaria.
Yeah.
You've been living in Denmark for how long?
That's almost 5 years. Actually, I just passed 5 years as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Talk to me about the differences in Bulgaria and Denmark, and in terms of like the marketing corporate in the marketing world. What's your opportunities now? What could have been in? Why did you go from Bulgaria to Denmark?
Where do I begin, actually? So the story is that I came to Denmark 5 years ago to study electronics, but it actually didn't turn out to be my passion. I kind of suck at math, so I just decided, okay, this is not for me. From there, I kind of got into... this is actually giving a little bit of a backstory of how we know each other as well.
Yeah.
Yes, so from there, I actually got into marketing and sales, and I was watching courses, but then I decided, okay, now it's time to step it up. Now it's time for me to go and get a job and some like real-life experience. So... as far as I remember, what happened is that I just knocked at your door. You used to be a partner at an agency back then. Yes. And I just knocked at your door, and I guess you guys liked me and you gave me the opportunity to start working for you. And the rest is history. The differences between Denmark and Bulgaria, actually, I think they're pretty drastic, first of all, culturally. Like, for example... sorry about that. A lot of people ask me, why did you come to Denmark? And I can't really give you a specific answer why I came here, but I can tell you why I stayed. And the reason is that I really love the people here. I really love, for example, the way people engage with each other and the way people support each other. And, you know, I have this story that I normally say when people ask me this question, is that one morning I was just sitting on my balcony or like in the garden and I was drinking my coffee. It was like 9 o'clock. And then I see an old lady with her dog just telling me good morning. And this has actually never happened to me in Bulgaria. I've never seen anyone do that to me. And it was a pretty like eye-opening moment of why, for example, this society is great and why this society works. This is not to say that Bulgaria doesn't have its benefits. Actually, in recent years, I've seen a lot of development, especially in terms of online marketing there. And I just had the chance to meet some really, really great people the last time I was there in this summer. But in general, I think that Denmark is one of the leading countries in the digital world, and I really think that one can get a lot of experience here. Mm. Whether you decide to use it in Bulgaria or in France or whatever in the world, I think that Denmark is a safe choice if you want to be one of the top people in online marketing.
Yeah, there's good and bad stuff about being in Denmark, because we are, as some people know, one of the highest taxed countries in the world. So we we also have like a high base salary, but we have to have always been like required to think innovative, because we cannot just employ people every time we want something done.
Exactly.
So it's like everyone is, what do you call it? It's a squid, like a jack of all trades, some sort, because you need to be able to do small tasks by yourself.
Exactly. You really do become resourceful. Like, for example, back in the day when we were working together, I tried to start this project, Follow the Martin, if you remember.
Yeah.
Yes. And initially, like, for example, your go-to response would be, okay, maybe I should just hire a front-ender, or maybe I should just hire a person to write content, and so on and so on. But with, as you say, the high wages in Denmark, that's actually not quite possible. So you do have to become really resourceful in your everyday life.
So that's, I think, actually going from a normal position in Denmark to how we compare ourselves to what I hear in other US-based podcasts is, it's like you are like building a team quite fast in America, where in Denmark you are by yourself for a long time, because I think just by getting along by yourself, it requires a lot.
Yeah.
But luckily, we also like have the benefits of the high tech country. We have the safety grids, and no one really starves compared to Bulgaria. No one like really on the streets unless they choose it by themselves. So it's like really like I think Bulgaria is the poorest country in the EU.
In the EU, as far as I remember.
And we might be the richest, if not the second richest, in the EU.
Yeah, I think Norway leads.
No, that's
that.
Not EU.
Oh, they're not in EU.
No.
Okay. Geography lesson number one.
Okay, they are the one of the richest countries in the world.
Okay.
So that's not the same, but okay, enough about this. As I said, my name is Simon Elkjær, and I'm not going to say my last name in every episode, because my last name is not something to pronounce in English. Yeah. Actually, I have a letter in my last name that doesn't even exist in the normal US alphabet. So I'm going to forward. Yeah. It's Simon and Martin, and I actually chose the podcast name, and you were just like, oh, fine. I chose the other marketing guys, and I actually have a backstory, because
I was gonna ask you about that, like, what's the story there?
It feels like to me that marketing podcasts is two people, usually two guys, talking to each other. There's like two different ways of doing it. There's the interviewer podcast, where it's one person interviewing a lot of people, and there's the two guys talking to each other. There's like Neil Patel and Eric Sue, there's Jim Harmer and Ricky Kessler, mostly YouTube now, and there's Joe Polizzi, Robert Rose, and there's John J. Wall and Christopher Penn, and so on. The list goes on. There's really a lot of two guys doing online marketing.
Yeah.
And I know going in to this, to you as a listener, we are just two random guys, because we have, to be honest, no feet in the international marketing space.
Indeed.
I am in Danish, an author. Yeah. I have like had the podcast. I actually have a YouTube channel, but it's pre what do you call it, pre-YouTube time, from, we have a very small language base. Only 5 yeah. million people, 5.5 yeah. million people speak Danish, and then it includes retirees and kids and so on. So it's like we have, you used to say in Denmark, we have 2 million people or 2.5 million people in the workforce in Denmark.
Yeah,
so exactly. It's a very small country. So it's like, in that, the niche of SEO and content marketing, it's not even, my podcast is not even about marketing in general, it's a niche of marketing.
Exactly.
So yeah. Even though I'm known in the space of SEO in Denmark, no one knows me. So it's a small country.
Yep.
But now we know, want to break out a little bit, so I invited you.
Yes.
Because I know we had some. I know you are a jack of all trades, sort of in online marketing. So
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, you have to have general interest in learning new marketing to do a podcast, because you have to always be ahead of. Yeah, not ahead, but I have to always like what's new all
exactly.
the time, and that's one of the things I remember from our time together.
Yep, I can actually confirm currently at my workplace it's kind of the same. So for example, today I had to do design, and then yesterday I had to set up some ads, and then you have to write content.
That's
so.
Denmark.
Yeah, that's Denmark, exactly.
So yeah, you can just have a designer for one-time use.
Yeah.
And also if you like outsource a normal web design, if you want to do it, probably it's like $10,000 in Denmark.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, onwards to our sponsors. We don't have any sponsors yet, but I'd like to thank a company for you being here, because we are not going to talk about where we each other work going forward, but actually this couldn't be done without you have the blessing from your
Morningstar
employees.
Employer. Yes.
Tell me about Morningstar, because it's relevant for the people. It's a software tool for measuring SEO.
Yes, indeed. First of all, I would also like to give the thanks for the blessing from my employer. I think it's great that he let me do this opportunity on the side as well. What about Morningstar? You've heard that there's so many SEO tools out there, but with Morningstar, we actually try and do something different, because, you know, there's so many people that are experts and they know what they're talking about, so they can dig deep into stuff like, let's say, SEO metrics and like search volume and so on and so on. But at the end of the day, you have a client, the client that you work for, that knows none of these things. So we try and sort of merge the gap between super technical and expert SEO stuff and the normal people, the people that you sell your SEO services to. That's basically the idea with Morningstar. Do you have any specific thing that you'd like to ask me about?
No, I just we use, even though we are like we only do, I have an agency, we only do SEO and content marketing, mostly like SEO based content marketing, so it's like digital blogging and so on, but we use the health check a lot. That's really nice, and I want you to focus on developing that, because it's very useful for us.
Yeah. There's one aspect that we try to develop with Morningstar, and that's gamification. And we're actually releasing some new things that are super gamified again. Because, as you said, I think it kind of seems that it works, right? Mm. Because so many people just write us and say, oh, I really want to get the green check mark and complete my issue. And it's like a dopamine hit.
It's the same as you don't like the red bulbs on your phone. Especially on the iPhone with the little 3 outside of your messages. Oh, I have to check this.
Exactly.
You actually get addicted to it. So if it was an app and you had this like brink on your phone, would be horrible. So
well,
I hate social media. You actually know this.
Yeah,
I have all the notifications on all my app on my phones are turned off. So I only check my phone when I like to, and not when other people want me to. So
but I think there's a lot of people that follow this
going forward. So it's actually about this podcast. I want you to handle the social media stuff. It's like we're going to have a Facebook group or something. We need to make some sort of community in Denmark. It's easy because everyone, it's like 98% of Danish people have social media. It's only like like people who don't know how to turn on a computer, and the what do you call it, the tinfoil hats. Yeah, and maybe some young people who don't want to be there because both their parents and their grandparents are on Facebook. So it's like Facebook has mega penetration in Denmark, but so we could do a community in Facebook, but if we do it in international, that's not great. So yeah, I'm actually thinking of building some sort of closed forum or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, we're going to check it, and we're going to I think about using the hashtag called Other Marketing Guys.
Boom.
So there, if anybody has questions until we're going to do the community, it's on Twitter, I think. Online Other Marketing Guys, and you are going to be the one responsible for reading
those.
I am not the social media person.
All right. I actually have a question here because I recently saw that from your Danish podcast, it goes really well with questions. How do you normally encourage people to actually send questions? Or
we say it in every podcast episode.
Okay.
So, yeah. It's not, we have to pull them out of people. But listeners really like that we answer questions, because all the feedback I get is like, oh, we like the news and we like the questions, because it feels so relatable with questions.
Yeah.
It's maybe not the issue they are having right now, but they can see how it's an issue.
Exactly.
Yeah. So going on to the news, you had some news for me?
Yes, I have prepared a few news here. Should I go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So one thing that I recently saw is that you've probably heard how YouTube channels used to get penalized and get a copyright strike from copyright holders, actually.
No, I didn't. It's like I only knew that you get your music removed.
Exactly. That's for the music. But basically, so the idea is that most of copyright claims nowadays are done by an algorithm. The algorithm detects it and then it lets you know.
Yeah.
But there still is actually, up until now, I think mid-September they're rolling it out, but there was a feature where you could manually submit a copyright claim as a copyright holder. Sorry. Mm. I don't know why I'm saying advertiser. But basically, YouTube, I think, did a really good step forward towards supporting content creators, because now they're trying to limit advertisers in terms of what they can claim under copyright claims, if you understand what I mean. So,
you have to remember to source the article. It's also legal stuff.
Yeah, this is actually from Search Engine Journal, as far as I remember. I just saw it there. But actually, I wanted to ask you if you have had any problems with that. Have you gotten any of your videos on YouTube?
No, because I don't use music.
No, okay. So this is the idea that, for example, let's say you're a vlogger and you're walking down the street and there's a certain song playing from some cafe. So a copyright holder could easily, up until now, just strike your video just because their song is, there's an excerpt of it. Okay. In your video, and now YouTube is trying to take that power away from copyright holders, because it doesn't really make sense.
So it's going to be less copyright issues.
Yeah, exactly. Or at least more fair copyright issues, where it really matters whether it's a copyright or not, and not just random occurrences of songs on videos. Do you know anyone who's ever had problems with that?
Nah, because YouTube, you know, it's not big in Denmark for creators in our space, because YouTube in Denmark is 16-year-old hyper crazy kids.
Yeah,
we don't have adult influencers in Denmark, not yet.
True, actually.
I don't know, because I have tried. I'd had I did a YouTube video every day for 50 videos straight.
Yeah.
And they got like 40 views each. I'm like, got really, very discouraged. I actually like took a week off afterwards because I was very stressed.
Yeah.
It was tough. So YouTube was... My interns right now are doing YouTube for one of our blogs. We have our own blogs as a part of an intern program. We do blogs with content to monetize that.
Yeah,
the stuff they do compiled of stock photos and voiceover get more views than my content did because it's in English. So it's just like YouTube is an algorithm with all the data has to it boosts when certain steps are made, like it boosts when people are engaging with it and seeing it, but the numbers are so small in Denmark. It's like, just like the algorithm won't even like notice the videos.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. Yes, but that's also kind of what SEO, how it works right now, right? User signals. Mm. But you're right, when you don't have a lot of data.
Yeah, but SEO in Denmark is different, but SEO international, it's like very different.
Actually, that's true. That's very interesting. Maybe actually we can have like an episode where we talk kind of about that, like the differences between
We're
Danish
going to
SEO.
It because I'm venturing out in international SEO and it's a whole other world.
Nice, nice.
It's actually easier, I think.
Okay.
It's easier to get more visitors, not the same rankings, because the same rankings would equals like 1,000 times more visitors.
Yeah,
but it's easier to get more visitors because the volume is like at least 1,000 times bigger in English.
Exactly.
So it's actually another whole other game. I have I have two news I'm going to combine into one. Last week, or was it a week before that? Search Engine Journal as well brought the data that Google now has more than 50% of its searches end without a click to the to another page.
Ha.
So it's like the first time ever, it's like 50.3% of all searches on Google don't get onward to a page, and it's like 4.4% is ad clicks and 45.25% is organic clicks. And to build on that, I have just an article from Moz blog released August 21st. Today we record August 22nd, so it's quite new. It's new schema tags. In my podcast in Danish, we talked about for 2 weeks ago. They released, I saw in Danish, maybe it has been international for some times, like the FAQ schema tags. So it's like when you have a question, you can underneath your position in the SERP, you can have two questions. You can, and when you click them, it folds out and gives you an answer. You don't get onward to the site.
Okay, so it's like the questions they already have, but just under each website, or how?
Yeah, under each website. If you tag them with the FAQ, you can have under your position in Google, you can have three questions, and then you can press them, and it's like an accordion. It scrolls down, and you can see the answer not leaving Google.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a problem with that, but now they released a how-to schema.
Okay.
So that it's not only questions, but it's step-by-step guides going out into the Google search. So if you have like how to do A, B, and C, you have step one, step two, step three in the Google result page. So you can see like the first three steps, and then you can press this down arrow, and then it expands, and you can see the answer in the Google result page. And that's okay for if you have a how-to guide, because people can like dip the toes and see if you are the right fit with before leaving Google search page. Because it's like if it's a text-based guide, you'll need to want to see the rest of the eight steps or the nine steps or something. But there's also an example of how to tie a tie, and it's a guide where each step is picture with one line text.
Yep.
So they put all these steps out in Google with, as we know it from Facebook, like this carousel with the picture and the step below it. So you can see all steps and all pictures for the step-by-step guide in Google without leaving Google.
Okay, that is insane.
That's borderline stealing.
Yeah.
So I think we talked about this so much in our podcast in Danish because we are getting to a point where Google is stepping and going so far beyond the boundaries of their task in this world that I think that Google has a problem that maybe not now, but at some point, like the monopoly, they're going right now, they are, what do you call it, they are abusing the monopoly, I think.
Mm-hmm.
To build on this, an article for... I'm combining a lot of news right now because I have a back what do you call it back
story or
no I have so much news from the I've done so many podcasts out.
Okay, but yeah, I was actually thinking I was actually thinking what we just discussed. I think we should actually take it in another episode about like the click through rate in general, like how much.
But building on this episode, like Google, for the first time in so many years, lost market share on SEO, on searches.
That's interesting.
That's interesting because I am actually thinking that if Google continues to do this, they're going to lose market share.
Yep.
Especially if they also have data breach problems at some point, because they're going to have it because...
Everyone's had it.
So I'm struggling to find the exact numbers right now, but it's a post from a search engine land or search engine journal as well, saying that Google has I don't remember the exact numbers, but I think Google went back like 2 or 3%, and it's relative, so that's a lot. But DuckDuckGo grew by 40%. So it's relative, so that's little, but it grew to really much.
Yeah, I mean...
DuckDuckGo is, I think, on the rise.
Yeah.
Because DuckDuckGo has no business in selling everyone's data. It's a private... and it's, what do you call it, a profit-driven company.
Exactly.
So it has profit, because I think it sells ads, but it's an untailored ads. It's not nothing to do with you. It's not... it's not the pride in not selling data. So, but what would kill DuckDuckGo from one day to another would be if story breaks that they actually use your data.
Yeah. Okay. Of course. Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think, but the Google seems like an unbeatable big company, but actually, this past 2 weeks they had 2 server breakdowns, and lost. According to their own webmaster blog, they lost a part of the index, and it sounds so crazy because we have seen this before, like a couple of months ago. They lost fragments, but this time it was like they lost like an entire data center.
What?
It was crazy, and they couldn't index anything new for hours.
What?
So we tested it and we stumbled across it because we work with like SEO every day.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing got indexed. And we did a lot of PR that same time. And we did this, you know, in Google where you could say the past 24 hours and search for something like if you got a story out.
Yeah.
Nothing.
There was nothing
empty.
Okay, that's weird.
So like, it's like, okay, is Google broken? What? So Google went out and said, oh, we had a little issue. We lost a part of the index. And
oh, a little, you say?
It's like, whoa. So I guess that Google is not an unbeatable big giant.
Yeah, but I'm actually going to ride the wave now and give you, if you're finished with your news, I'm going to give you something that Google did that can actually increase their market share.
Oh, I have the last thing. I think so.
Okay.
Because,
yeah.
Figure this. Safari has the second largest, what do you call it, market share in browsers.
Yeah.
Think about if they bought like an ad blocking software and integrated it into Safari and blocked not only for one day with the ITP they're doing right now, mm-hmm. but blocked all third-party cookies, did a complete secure browser, and they denied Google the $3 billion they pay for the
default standard browser. Yeah,
default browser. And they just made a deal with DuckDuckGo for the same or half the amount.
Insane.
Safari would win big because they have no share in all this marketing game. They could just like say, okay, we're going to ban all ads on Facebook and on Google.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this everyone would use this browser.
Exactly.
Everyone is like, oh, I need Safari because it's like, it would be faster, it would be better. And we just shifted in the entire company. We started using a browser called Brave.
Okay. I've never heard of
it. It's a browser with built-in ad blocking software and building software where it's it upgrades HTTPS, which are SSL security layers for a more secure browser.
Okay.
So it's like, I think that's dangerous. Apple actually holds the cards.
But it's true. It's kind of like the technology wars, because a lot of people often compare like, okay, Apple and Google, oh, there's a war going on, you know. But if you think about it, they're in kind of complete different spaces, because Google is kind of doing phones as a side thing, while their main revenue comes from advertising, and it's in their full interest to show their ads to everyone, while Apple is just doing phones and doing technology, and they have no interest in ads. They already collect data about you if they need that data through the phones.
Actually, Apple said they don't collect really much real data. They're not in the business of data.
Yeah.
But if Google didn't have the phones, Apple would be in complete control of everyone.
What do you mean?
If Google didn't have the 90% Android market share on the smartphones,
yeah,
or something, I think it's 92 or something, then Apple would be in complete control on which search engine would be the biggest in the world,
of course,
and which social media would work on phones,
of course. They pick and they
have the phone.
Force it, yeah.
So they could. It's Google did the phone play that because they had to stay in control.
Yeah, I actually think I read about that in your recent book, that Bing is getting a lot of market share recently just because it's a default browser for many Windows machines.
Microsoft. So it's just like, wonder if Bing made the deal with Safari.
Yeah.
So then any other
win.
Browser.
Complete Firefox. Win.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as we were talking about Google, actually, I just wanted to let you know about one thing they just released, and it's a new scaled-down app of their normal Google app. So they just released Google Go. Mm-hmm. And the way you can think about it is basically Facebook Lite, but for Google. And the idea, I guess, is that they're trying to actually get more of more market share, because there's plenty of users across the world that have slower phones or older model phones. And essentially, there's one really interesting thing, and I wanted to see your opinion on that, because although it's a scaled-down version, they have an AI integrated with the app that can basically read the page for you. It can read it out loud, but it actually sorts out which content it should read and which content it shouldn't read.
How?
I don't know that. Okay. It's the black box of AI, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but I wanted to ask you, like, for example...
Yeah, but it must be the same algorithm they use for the voice search.
Probably, but how do you think this will affect SEO, like...
Yes, voice can in general affects SEO at some points. But like we mentioned earlier, other marketing guys than us, we call other marketing guys, but it's like Income School on YouTube did an incredible bit about voice search.
Yeah.
They did an ending like, you can see it on YouTube, but it's like it was like something about voice search being... people was afraid of voice search, but when Google Alexa or someone is going to monetize voice search, it's going to be every time you ask something, there's going to be an ad in front of the answer.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are going to hate that.
I mean, it's interesting because now we are rolling out mobile first indexing, and we're probably going to roll out voice search indexing. If you think about it, it's going to prioritize content that's. I mean, you can actually already see.
Yeah, we are already doing it.
Yeah, you can already see that.
Yeah, we're doing it. We do the content as if it was an answer to a specific question, because we find that answers a specific question actually gains search intent. Yeah. So being instead of guessing, going for keywords, we go for keyword intent, and it really works really well. And in international SEO, it's really nice.
I'll tell you a secret. I followed that model, and we rank insane on one post that was struggling before. Yeah, it turns out actually that it's not super relevant users for us, but traffic-wise, it's just crazy. Like I can see 20 or 30 keywords in the featured snippet just by adding like 3 or 4 more questions. I just upgraded the post.
Yeah.
Insane. It's crazy.
So content upgrading is it's a nice way of doing it. You were, but the Google Go, I think it's maybe a play against, or not against, but with Facebook, because Facebook is actually like right now owning, as I heard or learned, I think so. Facebook is like the internet player in the developing world.
Yeah,
they are rolling out like phones with pre-installed Facebook and so on.
Yes,
and as I've heard it, it's come back to all this default stuff that all the entirely of the developing world does not install apps. No one does.
Okay, that I did not know.
So they have the apps, the phone
provider
built with. So Facebook like do this launches and they have built in Facebook. So for many people in the world, Facebook is the internet.
Yeah, actually I read heard the story, maybe John Oliver, maybe you know him from YouTube, but basically he said that, I don't remember in which country it was, but they use Facebook as a verb, like you would use Google for using the internet.
Yeah.
This is insane. Like, I would never imagine something like that.
No, but it's they have not seen the pains of first going through the old internet, you know, with the modems and so on. I don't know if you had that in Bulgaria, where we have like this, it's called like 64K modem, like going on the internet for in the 90s, like early 90s, and so on. Before I actually created websites and have made websites before Google was launched.
Okay.
I remember you have to submit your website to a search engine in Denmark called UB.
Okay.
It's like it was the Danish version of Yahoo. But you had to submit your site to get traffic because people had, this was one big index, and you could go through A, B, C and see all the websites.
I see.
So it's like the developing, they are skipping ahead like 20 years of developing and just go straight into the cesspool of what the internet is now.
Exactly.
The
exactly.
dangerous pit of fake news and
exactly.
Yeah. And think about they are in, not to be, I don't want to sound like an idiot, but they are in an uneducated part of the world. So how do they know what's real and what's not? Because just think about it, my parents online think it's everything, it's facts and like,
exactly.
So it's,
I had to teach my parents how to differentiate ads and organic content, actually, whether it's Facebook or Google. Like, they couldn't see the sponsored button there.
Yeah, and it's just like some people see the headlines and then like think everything, it's just
true.
So the internet is a dangerous place. So
yes.
Yeah. But do you have more news?
Yeah, I have one last news, should I say. So I just found a post on Search Engine Land again that had a comment from John Mueller. And essentially he was asked whether they're planning on having an opt-in or opt-out function for mobile-first indexing.
Mm.
Yes, and he said that there are no plans. But to give you some backstory, the idea is that the way currently Google scans websites is that it looks whether this website is ready to be mobile first indexed. So it kind of tells you that, for example, you won't have the power of deciding whether you're aiming for a desktop or mobile first indexing.
Yeah, I thought the mobile first indexing was like last year rollout.
Well, I heard they started rolling it out in 2016.
17, 16, something. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think they're maybe just because it's... Okay, so for example, here's one thing that I've noticed. Let's say you have a major algorithm update in the US or in Google, like they put it. The effects it has in the US market are way different than what it has in Denmark.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm guessing purely because there's so much more data that they can use in the US
too. we have a thing in Denmark where people want to like make the websites faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
But what's considered a fast website in Denmark is like blazingly, insanely fast in international space.
I think so. Yeah.
It's because like we are talking like 50 or 80 milliseconds of load time. Everything beyond that is just like stupid slow.
Yeah.
Because we have had like the Swedes are even worse because they have gigabit internet. It's like I don't know. It's called a gigabit, right?
Yeah.
In Denmark, we have also fast internet, but in America, it's not that fast.
Yeah.
So you can correct us on the hashtag other marketing guys if we are
exactly.
Have a
but I was actually thinking to ask you. So, for example, except for the fact that mobile search is growing and it's a natural step for Google to try and take that market, do you think there is any other like underlying motivation for Google to try and do mobile first indexing? Or
no, like they did that because they, in 2017, I think that more than 50% of all searches was mobile.
Yeah. Okay.
So now they are predicting. I think I saw an article of 2020 that more than 50% of all searches would be voice.
Voice, yeah. Okay.
But that's in some countries because no one in Denmark uses voice search.
Yep. True.
it sucks. And it's just like, it's not going to be a thing because I think voice search and that the data shows that it is exploding in South America.
Okay.
I think it's actually because I'm going to hit your country, home country, because I've been to Bulgaria.
Yeah,
and the taxi drivers are not texting; they are voice messaging each other.
Okay, that makes sense.
Everyone in even the UK, in Spain, and in Bulgaria, and all like taxi drivers and like normal people are like sending voice messages to each other.
Yeah,
I've never seen that in Denmark. So I think that is true. There is a part of the population that is that they maybe not the best at spelling. maybe like that's why it's exploding in South America because we have a huge populated area with people that's not the best educated in the world. So, but they can actually now they can use the phone because they can just ask the phone.
I see what you
instead
mean.
Of they have to be able to type it right.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the YouTube movie where some guy takes all the different ways of spelling am I pregnant?
I'm not sure I have.
Okay, it's like am I pregnant?
I think you sent me actually a long time ago that I now remember.
People there's so many people who cannot spell, who cannot write. It's an ordinary thing. It's just, I think, I would guess that 75% of the world is maybe not the best at spelling.
And I think there's also another market, so to speak, like target group for Google, and that's people who have Amazon or Google Home System, like smart homes. But that's a completely different target audience compared to what you're saying.
Yeah, the Alexa and so on. And I think, Also because the language base of Danish is like 5 million people. Why bothering optimize for the system? Making the AI for Danish is as hard as making is in English. And it's like maybe including all people who can speak English is like 500 or billion people, maybe even if you take all the countries who can have the second language in English. So it's the same optimization you have to do for the big people.
But I actually want to see how it works in Germany because Germany, I think, is a really interesting market.
Yeah,
it's like the U.S. of Europe, I think.
The U.S. of Europe.
Yes, you have 90 million people that speak the same language.
It's actually 100 if you take the nearby countries.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Language-wise, yeah. And then you have like high purchasing power as well.
Mm. So it's like 20% or 25% of the entire EU speaks German.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, okay, but today we're not going to take any questions because time is passing and I actually have to go and get one of my teeth pulled out, so it's a nice day for me. The final words for this episode would be for you to subscribe to our podcast and to leave a nice little review. Maybe if you have some feedback or some comments or some wishes in the future, leave a review, show some support on the podcaster you're using. It could be, yeah, podcatcher you're using. It's in Denmark, it's like 90% uses the iTunes one, but I know it's not the same in international warfare. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for today. And thank you for listening. And hopefully we will see you soon.
Yes. Talk to you soon, guys.